from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
This is John Lyons on WEEI.
Any way you want it, that's the way you need it. Any way you want it.
I know you mentioned in the past that one of Drake May's positives is that he can make plays by himself and overcome some things around him. I was wondering, would the offensive line ever be an impediment to maybe considering him as the starter, or maybe, you know, not giving him as much time if you don't trust the line?
Yeah, for me, we always talk about competition, and that's at all spots. So even if Drake, you know, beats out Jacoby, I mean, he earned that role. And we don't really take that into consideration when he's ready to go. And if he's better than Jacoby, then he'll play, he'll start.
Back here on WEEI, John Lyons alongside Chris Schein, entering the third and final hour. I was just saying you off-air, Schein. I can't believe we're in the final hour already.
I know, it's crazy. This show, shows fly.
Yeah, we started early with Andy.
We did.
Already, yeah. And you know what it is during the week, right? We're used to the four-hour shows.
Exactly.
So these three-hour ones. I like the three-hour show.
I do, too.
Get takes
by. Good job by Ken Laird.
Yes. Shout out Kenny Ballgame. Appreciate that.
Schein, you also have less work to do.
It's true. I have a lot less work to do. Well, no, that's not true. There's a lot of prep work that goes.
Less button pushing.
That's true.
Have you been seeing the takes this guy's been bringing today,
dude?
That's a lot of work.
I keep firing them off. I am like a Nerf gun, just endless ammo.
Yes. Thankfully, you haven't hit me too many times.
Nope. I am not. I can't say I'm an accurate shot.
Hey,
got a lot of them.
None of us are.
Yeah.
None of us are. So that was Gerard Mayo talking about the quarterback competition that kind of is and wasn't, wherever it kind of is right now. And we've talked a lot today, Schein, about May's development, when to start him, this offensive line. I want to spend some time on, where does the defense figure into this? Because I think, again, we agree this defense is, without Barmore and Judon, not as good as it would have been, but still really good.
Yep.
But I look at this as a unit where, if you are going to start May, whether it's, as you said in week one, or as I said a little bit later, I don't think you want to be in games where you're winning 31-27, right? It's not going to work for you. You're going to have to play well defensively, and I think the guys that you're really going to have to look to this season are guys that I think we both like, but that are unproven.
A little unproven, yeah.
Keon White and Christian Gonzalez. I think those are going to be the two biggest pieces you're going to have to look to. Gonzalez looked great, but only for 3.5 games. White look good, but like White, he had 15 quarterback hurries last year, only one sack.
Yeah.
So can he turn some of those hurries into sacks? I think that's really, not that everything's resting on those guys defensively, but I think they're going to have to be thrust, it's pretty big roles.
Yeah, I agree. I think, too, the big issue, the wrench in this to me, is the fact that you're not really sure how long Christian Barmore is going to be out for. Like, that becomes a major issue. I think when he's on the field, this defensive unit, even without Matthew Judon, is still going to be really, really talented. And Keon White and Christian Gonzalez are going to need to make those second-year jumps for sure. But I think you're also going to look at guys like Josh Uche and Dietrich Wise and see how much pressure can those guys generate. Because as we talked about earlier, like, there's ways to eliminate one pass rusher. But when you have a multitude of guys who can get after the quarterback from the inside and the outside on the defensive line, that's when defenses become a problem. And in my opinion, the best secondary in football is the best front four in football. Like, that's how you play good defense, is it starts and ends with those guys on the line of scrimmage, in my opinion. I think that's how it's always been. I think that's why you've seen, it goes back to years where you look at, you know, Tom Brady against the New York Giants, or you look at San Francisco for the last few years. When you're able to just rotate talented guys in that front four, you can patchwork a secondary together and things will pan out. And so I look at those guys, and to me, those guys are absolutely the most important. So when I think Keon White needs to make the biggest jump on this defense for them to be successful.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I think another guy that needs to make a jump, and a guy I believe in, but we got to see it, DeMarcus Covington, right? Because we've talked a lot, like, hey, Mike Pellegrino's still here, Brian Belichick's still here, like, Mayo's here, but Bill and Steve Belichick are gone, and they Correct. Were huge parts of the defense for not just last year, but for many years. So now DeMarcus Covington, which, by the way, felt like their first choice. Like, they wanted him to be DC.
Gerard clearly wanted him.
Right. And they believe in him, and I believe in him too, but it's going to be an adjustment for him.
Definitely.
And I think, how quickly does he hit the ground running and adjust? Because I think he's looked great in the preseason. Like,
yeah,
their defense and their calls have been great. But when you play the Bengals in that offense, and then you play the Jets with Aaron Rodgers, and you play Miami, and so all these different offenses that are all great in different ways, how does he adjust to that?
And I'm really curious to see Mayo and Covington's strategy, because I think coming into this year, right, we've tried to make comparisons to the Houston Texans of last year, yeah, in hopes. Like, that's the dream. But my issue is I don't believe that Jerod Mayo or DeMarcus Covington are the scheme lord type that D'Amico Ryans is. Like, D'Amico Ryans schemes a defense really, really well. He is very, very talented in that regard. And I'm not convinced that Mayo and Covington can do that. But you know what? If they are bouncing around between, you know, zero blitz and cover three and just mixing it up like crazy and have different defenses for different opponents, like, maybe I'll be proven wrong. But I'm just hoping and praying that it's not this Dan Quinn style of defense where it's like, this is the one thing I do it really well, and hopefully you don't shred me.
And I think, too, like, DeMarcus Covington's probably going to be on his own a lot, actually, because
yeah,
I think Mayo's going to have to focus so much on this
in-game
offensive
stuff.
Yeah, and offensive development, too, because you got the rookie quarterback, all these rookies. And that's something, how does Jerod Mayo, because I was asking before training camp, how does he just approach it? Like, how does he structure practices? How do they look in the preseason? Who do they play in the preseason, and how much? And we've kind of seen some inconsistency, it feels like, there with at least Drake May. How does he approach the regular season? Right, like, how involved is he in game planning? How involved is he on defense, which is his specialty, as opposed to offense where you're trying to develop something? How involved is he in special? We know Bill was big in specialty. How involved is...
Well, and I don't even know if it's fair to say that defense is his specialty. Like, he played defense in the NFL for a long period of time, but he hasn't been a defensive play caller much at all.
Right.
like, he helps game plan and stuff on a weekly basis,
sure,
but Steve technically was the one calling the defense every week.
And I think that's where, if you get a good season from Keon White and from Christian Gonzalez, it gives you a little bit of leeway if
yes,
there are growing pains. And again, I'm a believer in DeMarcus Covington, but it's his first year doing. Is there going to be some growing pains there? I think so. So can you get, and Gonzalez, to me, I thought he was great to start last mm-hmm. year. I don't think he's been great in training camp.
Yeah, it was
I think
was
he's
funny.
Been good.
A.J. Okay. Brown made a comment after one of the joint practices. He's like, yeah, he was my favorite. About Christian Gonzalez, like, yeah, he was my favorite DB coming out of that class. Like, I think he's really talented. But at the same time, also had, like, 10 catches on him in practice. Just, like, absolutely kicked his ass. And so it's going to be really interesting to see the kind of development Gonzalez has here. But again, that's why I've always firmly believed this, that, like, as long as your front four is really, really good, you can make the secondary work. And Gonzalez doesn't have to be amazing if those front four guys are generating pressure. And again, pressure does not always result in sack numbers for people out there. Like, you need to force the quarterback off his spot. You need to disrupt timing. Those are the things that that front four needs to accomplish. And you can find different ways to bring pressure, but you're going to have to be creative if those front four guys aren't uber effective.
And you look at where they've made their investments this offseason. And it's funny because this is a Patriot. They spent money this offseason. Now, a lot of it was on their own defensive guys, but they spent.
But those guys deserved it. Like, those guys were good.
I'm not disagreeing. And yeah. I think now is when, like, Duggar and Peppers in the secondary, but Godshaw up front, mm-hmm. right? Guys like Tavai, who got an extension up front. This is the time where, especially with Judon gone, like, Josh Uche took a little less money to stay here. He's probably going to play a big role. Anfernee Jennings, they gave a 3-year deal to. Mm-hmm. And I love watching Anfernee Jennings. He's going to be a huge part of this defense this year, especially without Judon. And I think it's funny because we talked, I feel like, for the first hour and a half, how offensively we have serious concerns about their depth mm-hmm. and their premium positions. Defensively, the depth should be there for them to be really good all year.
Outside of the cornerback position, I agree. Like, I think at safety, they're pretty deep. I think at linebacker, they're good. I think at defensive line overall, like, if Barmore comes back, then they're in great shape. But it's just that cornerback position where you lack a little bit of depth,
I think. And I wonder, what are they going to do with Jonathan Jones? Because he's been out. But also, they're giving him reps at safety. So are you?
He's your best corner. Like, you have to play him at outside corner.
I think you. I agree. And because when he was a slot corner, he was one of the best slot corners in the league.
Yep.
As an outside corner, he's been really good.
Been good.
And if Gonzalez progresses to where John Jones is your number two, then you're in really good shape.
Because then, if John Jones and Marcus Jones can both get on the field, I think at corner you're in good shape, right? You have Gonzalez and John Jones on the outside, and Marcus Jones is playing the slot. I think you'll be okay, but if those guys are unable to stay on the field for 17 games, you're gonna really need that front seven to be elite. And I don't mean just like good. I mean top three level in football in order to have success.
And I think this is where Covington's going to come in, because if, let's just say, Marcus Jones or John Jones, one or both aren't available for a while, okay, does he find a way to put Marte Mapu in there and they would go three safeties and things like how does he adapt?
And Hawkins has had a lot of role at, like,
Hawkins
the free safety,
as well,
right?
Like, or is Alex Austin put in a position where he can succeed, right?
Yep.
Or do they use Joe Giles Harris more as kind of that
hybrid linebacker? Is Sean Wade going to grow?
Exactly. So that's, to me, where, like, I look at DeMarcus Covington and say, this is what I want to see from you. Like, do these guys that are already good, this unit, does it progress, especially in those spots that are maybe a little bit thin?
And I'm curious if he supplements that front seven with guys like Peppers and Duggar and really kind of incorporates them into those blitz packages, because I think those guys could have a lot of success. Like, you know they can hit. Like, we've seen them do it. And so now, can they get in the box and really be effective in stopping the run and limiting those offenses? And if that's the case, your defense becomes it just unbelievably better if they aren't forced to play in those deep zones.
And I think the question to ask, too, is how aggressive is Covington going to be? Like, we saw the transition from Matt Patricia to Brian Flores. Brian Flores was much more aggressive than Patricia across the board. I mean, I felt like Patricia was aggressive for 1 year, and that was 2014 when he had Revis and Browner in the secondary.
Well, yeah, because you had Revis and Browner.
But I felt like every
other year, the best corner of the generation.
Right. He was very conservative, whereas Flores said, no, I have Gilmore, I have McCourty, these guys, I'm going to be much more aggressive. And then I felt with Mayo and Steve Belichick, they would bring press, but it felt like they were a little more conservative. Like, they would play man, they would bring press.
I also felt like it was game plan appropriate, right? Yeah. There were certain teams where they loved cover zero. Like, they lived in it for a while. And then they were like, okay, this has burned us a couple times. Let's dial it back just a hair. Let's be a little bit more balanced. I felt like Steve and Gerard were much more in the middle of Flores and Patricia. Yeah, they might have leaned a little bit more conservative, but I think overall they were much more middle of those two guys, which I think was beneficial to the way this defense wants to play.
Yeah, and I feel like that's where Covington's going to land.
I hope he's going to
be kind of in the middle. And also, too, like, you have an offense that some weeks might score 14 points.
Yeah.
Like, so you may have to take an extra risk here and there aggressively to stop someone on a third mm-hmm. and two that, you know, you go cover zero.
And you need to know when to take those risks.
Right.
I think that's the biggest thing. And I think that is going to be one of the things I have to identify about Gerard Mayo is, does he sense and understand when it's appropriate and when he should be taking risks? Like, Dan Campbell, you know, is going to risk it for the biscuit at every opportunity. Whereas a guy like Bill Belichick would never take a risk like that. He just doesn't. It wasn't in his DNA, whether it was in fourth down scenarios or he's going to send a ridiculous blitz. He just doesn't do that. So I'm kind of curious where Gerard falls, because I think that is going to be the difference between the Patriots winning three games and the Patriots winning six games.
Right. Is do they how well they execute defense?
Correct. And in the margin scenarios.
Yeah, and especially like you look at the schedule, there's winnable games that like defensively winnable games there if you can get that execution, those margin things,
the timing.
You get those things correct. So, you know, you want something fun to watch for the Patriots this year, just watch them play defense.
Absolutely.
You know, forget about Drake May.
Hey, Drake May will be fun too, don't you worry.
Just watch him play defense. Yeah. But I think, again, it's just something that is worth, to me, monitoring all year. They have new coaches everywhere, a lot of new players.
Definitely.
Or players like Gonzalez coming back from injury. This is going to be a multi-year rebuild. Like, this is year one of probably a two-year plan for them. So how do they
Like in an ideal world, I think this is the ultimate rebuild year. And then next year, you're at least pushing for a playoff spot. You should be.
Yeah.
Theoretically, your quarterback takes a step forward because he's now a second year player in the league. Your defense is still really talented. Hopefully offensively, you can supplement it a little bit more. And then that third year is when you become a legitimate competitor.
Yeah, I agree completely. I think 2025, they won't say this, but that's the year they're looking at to make the playoffs is 2025. Next year, I would say
they are pushing for a playoff spot next year, and then 2026 is the year that they should be one of the better AFC teams.
So there you go, Shime's timeline. You know what? We don't even need to keep doing a show. We'll just sit down. We'll come back in 3 years.
Sure. That sounds good.
Sounds good. But
fast forward in between all the non-football times.
But you will not want to fast forward through our next segment. We have a special guest, first time on WEEI, John Ryan of RotoWire. He is an expert sports handicapper. He's going to talk to us about some NFL futures, maybe some college football futures, maybe even a handful MVP-type conversations like that as well. That'll be John Ryan coming up next on WEEI.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
High-scoring affair last night in Baltimore, but the Red Sox came away the victors over the Orioles 12-10, your final score. Sox scored 8 earned runs on 10 hits off of starter Corbin Burns, who only lasted 4 innings. He got the loss for Baltimore. Sox got homers from Rafi Devers, Masataka Yoshida, David Hamilton, and Jaron Duran. Tristan Casas was also in the lineup for the first time since April 20th. He finished 1-for-5 with 2 strikeouts. Game 3 of this 4-game series will get underway tonight. Will Fleming and Tyler Murray have the call from Camden Yards at 7:05 on the Shaw's at Star Market, WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. Brian Bayo will get the start for the Sox opposite Cade Povich for the O's. Bradfo's going to get everything started with the Mass Mutual pregame show at 6:05. Mass Mutual Insurance, Planning, Investments. Elsewhere in the MLB last night, the Royals beat the Reds 7-1, and the Mariners fell to the Pirates 5-3. Meanwhile, that means the Sox are 2.5 games out of the final wildcard spot. But they are a full 2 games clear of the Mariners as the last team out of the AL playoff standings. Patriots resume their practice this afternoon as they get ready for their preseason finale next Sunday against the Commanders. Gerard Mayo has already stated that the top offense will play in that game a week from tomorrow. In round 3 of the FedEx St. Jude Championship from Memphis, Tennessee, it's the first stop in the FedEx Cup playoffs. It's still Hideki Matsuyama leading it at 13 under par, followed by Sam Burns in second at 12 under, and then tied for third is Nick Dunlap and Denny McCarthy at 10 under. I'm Joe Braverman, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Back here on WEEI, I'm John Lyons, alongside Chris Schein. We have Joe Braverman producing for us. Been talking a lot of Patriots today. We had Olympic medalist Frederick Richard on as well. And right now we are joined by a very special guest, someone I have worked a little bit with before, sports handicapper John Ryan of RotoWire. You can find him on Twitter at JohnRyanSports1. He knows his stuff, so make sure you listen up, folks. John, pleasure to talk to you once again. Welcome into the program.
Thanks for having me on, John. Hopefully I do know my stuff. We really never know what's going to happen week to week, but over the course of the season, we've done pretty well.
Yeah, if anybody asks me, I'll just say you know your stuff. Don't worry. But, John, I want to start out. You kind of have a unique betting system. Could you just give us, you know, 2 or 3 minutes on what your system is and how it's successful?
Well, a lot of my stuff comes from Wall Street. I had a really good career on Wall Street in the institutional side. And very analytical, a lot of data crunching. And I suddenly realized one day that the sentiment of the market, like the S&P 500, actually is the same as the sentiment that you can find in the betting market. So, for example, when we get 75% bulls in a market, that's usually where we start getting the tops and a regression. At the bottom, 25% bulls, and that is at the point where you start getting bottoms to form. So the same thing in sports betting. If you see, you know, irrational exuberance on a specific team on a game that 75% of the bets and 75% of the handle or more is on that team, that's a red flag. And as I've always tried to teach everyone, it's much better not to force a bet than to just simply force it thinking that, well, I don't want to miss out, because those usually don't work out so well.
And so, John, heading into the first week of college football next week and then the NFL shortly after that, I wanted to ask your thoughts on a couple, an NFL future in particular, just because I love betting the NFL. It's one of my favorite things to do. And one of the things that I've kind of done every year is when I look at like the MVP market, a lot of the times I like to focus on like one longer shot, like 30 or 40 to one, and then one guy that's kind of closer to the top of the board, because there was a point in time a few years back where long shots were winning like crazy, and then recently it's been a lot of the favorites that have come through. So I'm curious kind of if your system or you in particular have kind of a thought process when approaching, you know, the MVP market this year, and if there's a guy in particular that you like.
Yeah, it's a fun thing to do. It's one of my favorite prop bets to do before the season starts, along with the wins totals, of course. But what I do is I look at the team's schedule. I also look at whether they had a good season the previous season or not. And a lot of times we can find value with a team that's going to be a playoff contender that had a very disappointing season in the previous year. Obviously, you go right to the quarterbacks, because that is usually who wins the award most of the time. So one that is on my radar is Jalen Hurts of the Philadelphia Eagles.
Okay.
13-1 to win the MVP. And I think I'm about the only guy in the country right now that thinks that's even remotely possible. whenever I mentioned that, they kind of give me that look like, are you serious? That's not going to happen. But if you look at their schedule and you look at the season they had last year, losing the last 7 in a row and how they lost the first playoff game, and now they have Saquon Barkley in the running back, the defense is going to be much, much better than advertised. It won't be as good as that Patriots defense, but it's going to be good enough. And the offense, I think, is one of those juggernauts waiting to happen that could average 38 to 40 points a game. And then the defense really doesn't matter, does it? You just have to make sure you don't give up more than 38. But I think the Eagles' offense is going to be really, really special this year, and Jalen Hurts, he'll get the credit.
All right, Jalen Hurts, good guy to watch. John, I want to ask you actually a very similar question that Chris just did, but with rookie of the year, because we've seen, you know, quarterbacks went with the first three picks. We've seen it looks like Caleb Williams is going to start. We don't know about Drake May, but Jaden Daniels will. And, of course, Marvin Harrison Jr. has been this generational prospect for several years now. Where are you at kind of on the rookie of the year market? Is there a guy or two you really like? Where are you at overall on that?
Well, you and the listeners are going to like this quite a bit, because I thought from the draft, Drake May was the best quarterback in the draft.
Let's go.
I really believe that. I still believe it. And I think after what we saw in one preseason game just last night, he's the real deal. And this could really turn around the franchise much faster than most people think for the Patriots. He's at 25-1. To win Rookie of the Year right now. And, of course, Caleb Williams has a world of pressure on his shoulders there for the Chicago Bears. That's way too cheap to even put money behind that. Even if he ends up winning, he's only plus 140. Jaden Daniels would be one I would consider. But keep in mind, too, and John knows this, I love doing live in-game betting. I also like doing it during the season. So maybe what you do here with these futures is what I do is I put half down now. So I'll get 25-1. Let's say the season starts and Drake May is the starting quarterback, but it doesn't go so well. Maybe the Patriots are 1-3 or something like that to start, and Drake May's finding his way into the NFL and the speed adjustments and everything that goes along with a rookie quarterback. But then you're going to get odds of 40-1, 45-1. So you just keep, you know, kind of buying into it as the season wears on and take advantage of the bad games that he may have. And add more to that 50% bet.
So speaking of the Patriots, love that, by the way. I already have my NFL future on Drake May to win Rookie of the Year. I did it the night he was drafted, so thank you for that. But speaking of the Patriots, John, week one, they're 9-point underdogs against the Cincinnati Bengals. To me, there's a lot of chaos with the Bengals. I love to take big dogs early in the season. I just think that teams treat the first kind of 3 weeks to month of a season almost like preseason games at times, and so you can kind of get really good value on those big dogs. I'm curious your thoughts on the New England Patriots week one is 9-point underdogs.
I like them quite a bit. I think this is going to be one of those games that's not decided in the first quarter with the Bengals blowing them out. If anything, I referenced the circuit contest that I've been involved with for years now and the Westgate Super Contest prior to that. And we've had absolute carnage in the first couple of weeks in the Eliminator. 2 years ago, 65% of the field was eliminated on week one. And why was that? They were, the whole public in the world were taking the biggest favorite and just assuming that the game was won before it even started. And we know at the NFL level, and it's, you know, it's a stupid phrase, but it is true, not for long. So with the chaos you mentioned with the Bengals, I do think that the Patriots have a shot here at a first, you know, week one upset even. So I would bet them plus 9 and then sprinkle a little bit on that money line too. Yeah, I like the Patriots in that situation a lot, and I could be dead wrong, John, but I think avoiding taking the Bengals in your eliminator contest in week one is a smart move. There's other favorites out there, I think, that'll, you know, have better odds of winning the game. That's all you want to do.
And, John, I want to build off that because you mentioned you like the Patriots plus 9 week one. One of the big topics between Chris Scheim and I here today, but also between pretty much everybody in this market, has been their over-unders set at 4.5, which is something we're not used to here in New England, is having an over-under set that low. Do you have thoughts on that over-under? Are you looking at the over? Are you looking at the under? I mean, where are you at on the Patriots over-under?
I see them winning 5 or 6 games. And, again, that's going to be a little bit more optimistic than most of the handicappers and pro bettors out there. But I think you're bottom picking here, but I think you're doing it in a smart way. What I mean by bottom picking is, like, comes from Wall Street. If a stock is going down very hard, like an NVIDIA, for example, and it goes down 30%, you're bottom picking that the quality of the company is going to come to the forefront and it's going to recover in price. Same thing with the Patriots. I think they're going to be a little bit of a surprise. They're not a playoff team yet, but this might be a big step forward if they get 5 or 6 wins this year and then get some good draft picks next year, and they're right back at it. The only difference, it'll be Drake May instead of Tom Brady.
So for those of us who can't wait to get into the NFL market here, John, and college football starts a week from today, we'll actually be in the middle of our first ranked team playing in a college football game an exact week from right now. It'll be Florida State, 10th ranked team in the nation. They're going to be at Georgia Tech. Any thoughts on Florida State coming out of the gate? Because there's been some concern here. You know, they had such a great season last year, but people are wondering if they can kind of repeat any of that success on the road in week one as an 11.5-point favorite here. Any thoughts on that Florida State game to get us started, since that'll be the first football game we can actually bet on in like in months?
Yeah, it's going to be an exciting game. Georgia Tech is one of those teams that can cause problems for a ranked team like Florida State. Florida State has to be very careful not to be overconfident going into this game and thinking that they're going to win it with ease. But with that said, a lot of times with these first week games, or week zero as they call it, the favorites, these double-digit favorites, do go out of the gate slowly. And a lot of times they'll be behind even in the first quarter. And that's where the live in-game betting comes into play so big with my stuff. Because why do you want to pay 11.5 points now when you can watch the first quarter and say Georgia Tech scores first? Even if it's a field goal they score first, that line's going to come down to at least 9.5. And that's a heck of a lot better than 11.5. But if they do get out to like a 10-3 lead, seeing as Georgia Tech, that would be your optimal place to jump on Florida State. And in my opinion, I've had a lot more success not doing live in-game betting the second half. And the reason why is you have such limited time to be right. You make that bet in the third quarter with 3 minutes to go and the fourth quarter yet to be played. You have to be pretty darn right quickly. Whereas if you do it in the first quarter or the second quarter, you have time for the game to evolve into your favor as you had thought the game would go before the kickoff. So I hope that makes sense. I always recommend doing like no more than 50% pre-flop, and then look to add at cheaper prices in the first and second quarters.
Yeah, so for us casual bettors out here, so your recommendation is when you're live betting those teams that you like, you kind of focus on that early, like that first quarter, early second quarter time frame to really kind of lock in and strike?
That's correct, yep. And, of course, there's other situations that can nullify that. You know, if a quarterback is down to injury, unfortunately, I hope that doesn't happen, but those events do happen in the NFL and college football. Then you obviously wouldn't want to try to back that team anymore because of that loss. But if everything's going according to plan and you like Florida State before the game started, you're going to like them even more at 6.5, right? And that's kind of the theory. The worst thing that can happen is that they get out of the gate fast and it's a blowout and you never have a chance to add. But that also implies you're winning that 50% pre-flop bet pretty handily. So, you know, it's a plus-minus type of thing. But, you know, when you're not getting those live in-game bets in, that's usually, you know, means that you're winning that 50% pre-flop bet pretty easily.
Another college football question for you, John. Ole Miss, top 10 ranked team, they're plus 1,500 to win the national title. I think that's a sneaky good bet. They bring in pretty much their entire offense back. They don't have to play Nick Saban in Alabama this year. They brought in a really good transfer class, including the defensive end from Florida and Tyler Barron from Tennessee. So do you like Ole Miss at all, just on a future to compete for and or win the national championship?
I actually do. And I'll mention this too in the same topic here. I also like Penn State. So my two top futures bets are Ole Miss at 16-1, Penn State at 25-1. And again, not to beat the dead horse here, do 50% pre-flop now and say Ole Miss, I don't have the schedule in front of me, but let's say they stumble a little bit, but they win the game, but it was very close against a team they should have blown out. You're going to see the odds go up. And it may not be much. It may go from 16-1 where it is now to maybe 18-1. But then that's another opportunity to add into something that you believe in is going to happen by the end of the season. I like Penn State because there's, you know, the Big Ten now is 18 teams. They don't have Michigan and Ohio State on the schedule. Instead, they have Oregon and Ohio State. But actually, it's not Oregon. It's Ohio State at home. And that's the game. So if they win that game, they could go undefeated pretty easily. The schedule is pretty soft for Penn State, relatively speaking, to previous years. And they're a team that's reloading, again. A quarterback, Alar, is outstanding. He's a five-star recruit now into his second season. And he can throw, almost 80 yards in practice just standing there throwing it. Tremendous arm, tremendous talent. And if he takes the next leg up this year, he could lead that team, definitely into the college football playoffs. And then who knows after that? We have 12 teams this year, and that's going to be the best part of the whole season when that starts to unfold.
John, one last question for you here. I want to go back to the NFL. I want to get your opinion on this. Last year, the Detroit Lions make the NFC Championship game. They surprise a lot of people. The Houston Texans make it to the divisional round. They surprise a lot of people. Is there any team this year that maybe had a bad season last year that you're looking at that could kind of surprise a lot of people and go deep into the playoffs from a betting perspective?
That's a great question, and it requires a little bit of thought here, but I do think, I'll tell you, the one that does kind of, this is a real long shot, but the Washington team is definitely on my radar. I think, with the way they are getting away from the Snyder ownership ways and starting to get a team together that can really play well, I think they're a team that could really be the shocker of all shockers this season. In the AFC, I really believe that Kansas City is not going to make it to the Super Bowl. This history lesson tells you that. It would be one of the first times that's ever happened. They're a great team, but they're going to be overvalued every single week. So in my models, which consist of about 2,500 different algorithms or betting systems, and that takes the subjectivity out of having to think like, well, how's this matchup going to go? How's this coach going to react to that defensive coach? And it's all baked into the numbers. So if the price is, the Eagles favored by 3, then that number reflects everything we know about that game. That's what I learned in Wall Street, too. The price of Apple Computer is $200 a share. That reflects everything we know about Apple and 6 months going forward. So the same thing actually applies in the sports betting market. So I think that is a long shot, but I do like where they're at, and they haven't had a good season, and I can't even tell you how many years it's been, but maybe they're due.
All right, he is John Ryan of RotoWire. You can follow him on Twitter at John Ryan Sports One. John, pleasure to talk to you once again. Thank you very much for taking the time.
Thanks for having me on. It was a great pleasure.
Thanks, John.
All righty, so John gave us some nuggets there. Jalen Hurts for MVP, Washington Commanders, sleeper team in the NFC.
I like that. I think the Commanders over-under right now for wins is 6.5. I could be swayed into taking that over for sure. And I like Jaden Daniels. He was, as a fantasy football guy, I don't know how big into fantasy football you are, John. Huge fantasy football guy. Jaden Daniels to me is like the steal of the late rounds when it comes to quarterbacks. He just has that Lamar Jackson type potential to be really good at running the football and throwing the football. And then Dan Quinn brings in some leadership that this team desperately needs, I think, especially defensively. So I could be coaxed into the Commanders being pretty decent in what could be a relatively, not necessarily weak division, but relatively.
Yeah, and they have a solid defense. They still have Terry McLaurin playing receiver for him. So, yeah, that was interesting. Jalen Hurts to his MVP. I thought his point about the way last year ended kind of deflated his betting
market. I love that Jalen Hurts pick a ton. Like, you're getting him at 15-1. Like, for me, he was one of the guys at the top of the board I thought about, but I'm like, I don't know. Do I really feel this confident about the Eagles? I got to tell you, John made me feel a lot more confident in the Eagles than I originally thought. For me, the lower guy on the board is Anthony Richardson. I've been singing his praises all offseason. That's my guy. When I look at the top of the board now, I'm really looking at Jalen Hurts a lot.
And, of course, the best thing in your eyes that he said was Drake May.
Rookie of the year. Yeah. I was sold immediately. I knew he was going to be a good guest as soon as he said Drake May at 25-1, which I bet literally the day after the draft.
I know. So. I had no idea ahead of time that he was going to say, and as soon as he said, I just looked at you. Then Shimes in his element.
Yeah, if he had also said Anthony Richardson for MVP, I might have taken my pants off. It would have been a great day in here.
Well, we'll
just dance around.
We'll be sure
and
to
a
let
worse
him know
day
what
for us if that.
All right, Joe.
Yeah, we'll be sure to let him know what to say next time.
Yeah, definitely.
Yes, keep the pants on or off. Either way,
it's a pants party.
Believe it or not, Shine, we only have one segment left.
Can you believe it?
I know it's flown by, and we have not talked. And I want to talk coming up. Celtics schedule got released this week. Mm-hmm. A few interesting matchups, of course, as they try to repeat as champions after winning Banner 18 in June. So we're going to talk about that and wrap up the show coming up next. Back here on WEEI. Final segment of the show. I'm John Lyons alongside Chris Schein. Schein, I thought we had a pretty interesting show today.
Very interesting. Yeah, we had good. I loved it. A lot of good variety.
I agree. Like a lot of Drake May talk. We talked about the Patriots defense minus Matt Judon, but we also spoke to an Olympic medalist in Frederick Richard of Stoughton, Mass., Olympic gymnast. I was part of the first men's Olympic gymnastics team to win a medal since 2008. He had some really cool insight into the bad food in Paris.
Yes.
But also
excellent.
The Olympic experience. We just finished up with John Ryan, who gave us some pretty cool betting info. I'm not a huge gambler myself, Schein. I know you are.
Yeah, big time.
And you felt like his info was pretty good. So.
Yeah, I loved it. I thought it was good. Good way to start the season. I love, I really like his approach. It seems very similar to kind of what I do, but he's probably way smarter than I am. So shout out to John Ryan.
And one thing we haven't talked about yet, we got about 5 or 6 minutes left here. By the way, Baseball Isn't Boring with Rob Bradford is coming up next. But the other, and I don't want to even call it maybe a big story, but the other story of the week, the Boston Celtics are going to start their title defense October 22nd against the New York Knicks. Their schedule is out. The date I have circled early on is not just that Knicks game, but November 6th, the Wednesday night, they host the Golden State Warriors and Steve Kerr. We'll see how Tatum and Brown. I feel like that's going to be a night where those guys are either going to combine for 80 or they're going to combine for like 18 points and just kind of have, like, they're either going to get too hyped up and not
They're
going to
beat
them
by 50 again, or they're going to lose by like 30.
Yeah, I feel like that's going to go, there's going to be no middle ground on that night, especially for Tatum and Brown. But thoughts, Schein, on Celtic schedule? If you want to weave in some early expectations for them, feel free, but just, you know.
Yeah, so I'm excited for the Celtics, needless to say. I am a little bit upset, though. And this one goes out to the Celtics social media team.
Okay.
That video, the schedule release video, kind of stunk. In an age of awesome social media schedule release videos, like you look at a team like the LA Chargers, they do theirs really, really well. Even the Bruins have had a lot of really good social media posts. The Celtics one, very lacking. Didn't love it. I thought it was very kind of bland, very like, not great. I expected more, I think, from the NBA champion Boston Celtics when it comes to the social media.
They're champs. They can market themselves.
Well, and also,
yeah, but like, that's not fun. Like, give me something fun.
Yeah, give Schein fun.
I like to have fun, Joe Braverman. And don't get me wrong. Like, I love the Celtics team. I can't go out and say that I've always been the biggest basketball fan in my life. I'm a much bigger, I would say I'm probably a fair weather fan. That's okay. I'll admit it. But, like, get me roped in a little bit more. I know you're the champs. I watched it. I watched every single playoff game. I watched a lot of last regular season and stuff. But, like, I don't know. Get me hyped up a little bit. You're not playing right now. We just had all that drama in the offseason now with the Olympic team and Jaylen Brown and blah, blah, blah. Like, get me hyped up. This is just kind of a bland video. Meh.
And I haven't watched the video myself, Schein. I guess I'll save myself
C-minus.
The time. Crazy part is the Celtics might have the best social media team in the NBA. You watch the other videos like that they came out with during the playoffs.
The hype videos? Bangers.
Unreal.
Those thing hit.
Yeah.
But this was just kind of like, dude,
that's the
I could have come up with this.
And if you're interested, the
NBA, I don't get paid for it.
The NBA Cup, a.k.a. the in-season tournament, a.k.a. the thing the Lakers raised a banner for last year, that starts in November. I think the first game of it is November 12th. The Celtics play the Hawks that night. I was a little disappointed, Schein, no Monday nights in Charlotte. Mm. If you know, you know. Monday night in Charlotte, but maybe I'll tell you off the air.
Okay.
But either way, the Celtics schedule to me is so much about where they're at, not just with Tatum and Brown, you know, coming off the Olympics. Where are they at health-wise with Porzingis? Do they manage through all? Like, I'm not going to be shocked if we get to Christmas Day, and they play Philadelphia on Christmas Day at home, and they're not the one seed. Like, if they're the 2 or 3 seed, I could see them managing some minutes. Porzingis might not be back till late December.
Yeah, but they did that last year a bit, too, and they were still wire to wire the best team in basketball.
Sure, and that's why I think by the end of the season, I could see them being the one seed. I wouldn't. And they got to go to, like, Abu Dhabi for part of training camp or something, which is ridiculous. But I wouldn't be shocked if you put all that together. Maybe they take it a little bit slower out of the gates, and we're sitting here the week of Christmas doing fill-in shows saying, hey, you know, they're third in the East right now. You know, are they, you know,
I don't know. It's hard because I understand where you're coming from, especially with Jason Tatum now having played it, quote unquote, played in the Olympics. Like he's been
playing, was on the team.
Yeah, he was on the team. He's technically been playing basketball now for what, from last October until a week ago?
Yeah,
10 straight months. The guy needs a little bit of rest, I think. Like to get right back into the swing of an NBA season may be a little bit tough for him. But a guy like Jaylen Brown, I mean, Porzingis will be coming back from the injury and stuff, and that's fine. But like a guy like Jaylen Brown, and then Derek White and Jrue Holiday also played basketball for like 10 straight months. So, yeah, okay. So I guess I understand where you're coming from. They could be a little bit slow out of the gate, especially if you're managing those minutes. But I still expect the Celtics to be like really, really good, even at the start of the season.
A couple other notable dates. Marcus Smart makes his return to the TD Garden with the Memphis Grizzlies December 7th. Game I'm looking...
You think we get a tribute video?
Yeah, oh, we definitely will. Because he'll be playing, actually, this time. My personal favorite game I'm looking forward to, Wednesday night, March 12th. They play the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Nice.
I think that's an NBA Finals preview show.
Ooh, you think that... Is that your Western Conference pick right there?
It is, right now.
I like that.
Yeah.
This is early. I like that out of you, John.
Yeah, hey, there we
okay.
go, right? Yeah.
Give
you a real I figured I'd wait till the third hour at the end to give you a real take.
Yeah, like less than a minute to go.
That and they should play Drake May in week 8. Cut off Shime's mic before he argues that.
Play week 1.
Shime, it was a pleasure.
Always a pleasure, my
friend.
As
always. Hopefully we'll be back together soon. I will be back tomorrow morning with KJ Carson at 9 a.m. You will be back on Monday morning with the Greg Hill Show.
That's correct.
At 6 a.m.
And we'll have Coach Jerod Mayo on the program on Monday morning.
Mayo Mondays,
yes,
starting on Monday with Chris on the Chris Shime Show.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yes, on the Chris Shime Show. Thank you very much, folks, for listening. Baseball Isn't Boring with Rob Bradford next. And thank you, of course, to Joe Braverman, our wonderful producer. Have a good day, folks.
See ya.
Back here on WEEI. Final segment of the show. I'm John Lyons alongside Chris Shime. Shime, I thought we had a pretty interesting show today.
Very interesting.
Yeah, we
been good. I loved it.
A lot of
good variety.
I agree. Like a lot of Drake May talk. We talked about the Patriots defense minus Matt Judon, but we also spoke to an Olympic medalist in Frederick Richard of Stoughton, Mass, Olympic gymnast that was part of the first men's Olympic gymnastics team to win a medal since 2008. He had some really cool insight into the bad food in Paris.
Yes.
But also
excellent.
The Olympic experience. We just finished up with John Ryan, who gave us some pretty cool betting info. I'm not a huge gambler myself, Shime. I know you are.
Yeah, big time.
And you felt like his info was pretty good. So.
Yeah, I loved it. I thought it was good. Good way to start the season. I love, I really like his approach. It seems very similar to kind of what I do, but he's probably way smarter than I am. So shout out to John Ryan.
And one thing we haven't talked about yet, we got about 5 or 6 minutes left here. By the way, Baseball Isn't Boring with Rob Bradford is coming up next. But the other, and I don't want to even call it maybe a big story, but the other story of the week, the Boston Celtics are going to start their title defense October 22nd against the New York Knicks. Their schedule is out. The date I have circled early on is not just that Knicks game, but November 6th, the Wednesday night, they host the Golden State Warriors and Steve Kerr. We'll see how Tatum and Brown. I feel like that's going to be a night where those guys are either going to combine for 80 or they're going to combine for like 18 points and just kind of have like they're either going to get too hyped up and not
they're going to beat
well.
Them by 50 again or they're going to lose by like 30.
Yeah, I feel like that's going to go. There's going to be no middle ground on that night, especially for Tatum and Brown. But thoughts, Shime, on Celtics schedule, if you want to weave in some early expectations for them, feel free, but just, you know.
Yeah, so I'm excited for the Celtics, needless to say. I am a little bit upset, though, and this one goes out to the Celtics social media team.
Okay.
That video, the schedule release video, kind of stunk. In an age of awesome social media schedule release videos, like you look at a team like the LA Chargers, they do theirs really, really well. Even the Bruins have had a lot of really good social media posts. The Celtics one, very lacking. Didn't love it. I thought it was very kind of bland, very like, nah, not great. I expected more, I think, from the NBA champion Boston Celtics when it comes to the social media.
They're champs. They can market themselves.
Well, and also,
yeah, but like, that's not fun. Like, give me something fun.
Yeah, give Shime fun.
I like to have fun, Joe Braverman. And don't get me wrong, like, I love the Celtics team. I can't go out and say that I've always been the biggest basketball fan in my life. I'm a much bigger, I would say I'm probably a fair weather fan. That's okay. I'll admit it. But, like, get me roped in a little bit more. I know you're the champs. I watched it. I watched every single playoff game. I watched a lot of last regular season and stuff. But, like, I don't know. Get me hyped up a little bit. You're not playing right now. We just had all that drama in the offseason now with the Olympic team and Jaylen Brown and blah, blah, blah. Like, get me hyped up. This is just kind of a bland video. Meh.
And I haven't watched the video myself. Shime, I guess I'll save myself C-. the time. Crazy part is the Celtics might have the best social media team in the NBA. You watch the other videos like that they came out with during the playoffs.
The hype videos? Bangers.
Unreal.
Those thing hit.
Yeah.
But this was just kind of like, dude, come
that's
on.
The great...
I could have come up with this.
And if you're interested, the
NBA, I don't get paid for it.
The NBA Cup, a.k.a. the in-season tournament, a.k.a. the thing the Lakers raised a banner for last year. that starts in November. I think the first game of it is November 12th. The Celtics play the Hawks that night. I was a little disappointed, Shime. No Monday nights in Charlotte. Mm. If you know, you know. Monday night in Charlotte, but maybe I'll tell you off the air.
Okay.
But either way, the Celtics schedule to me is so much about where they're at, not just with Tatum and Brown, you know, coming off the Olympics. Where are they at health-wise with Porzingis? Do they manage Drew Holiday? Like, I'm not going to be shocked if we get to Christmas Day, and they play Philadelphia on Christmas Day at home, and they're not the one seed. Like, if they're the 2 or 3 seed, I could see them managing some minutes. Porzingis might not be back till late December.
Yeah, but they did that last year a bit, too, and they were still wire to wire the best team in basketball.
Sure, and that's why I think by the end of the season, I could see them being the one seed. I wouldn't. And they got to go to, like, Abu Dhabi for part of training camp or something, which is ridiculous. But I wouldn't be shocked. You put all that together, maybe they take it a little bit slower out of the gates, and we're sitting here the week of Christmas doing fill-in shows saying, hey, you know, they're third in the East right now. You know, they are, you know.
I don't know. It's hard because I understand where you're coming from, especially with Jason Tatum now having played it, quote-unquote, played in the Olympics. Like, he was
on the team.
Yeah, he was on the team. He's technically been playing basketball now for, what, from last October until a week ago?
Yeah,
10 straight months. The guy needs a little bit of rest, I think. Like, to get right back into the swing of an NBA season may be a little bit tough for him. But a guy like Jaylen Brown, I mean, Porzingis will be coming back from the injury and stuff, and that's fine. But, like, a guy like Jaylen Brown, and then Derek White and Drew Holiday also played basketball for, like, 10 straight months. So, yeah, okay. So I guess I understand where you're coming from. They could be a little bit slow out of the gate, especially if you're managing those minutes. But I still expect the Celtics to be, like, really, really good, even at the start of the season.
A couple other notable dates. Marcus Smart makes his return to the TD Garden with the Memphis Grizzlies December 7th. Game I'm looking...
You think we get a tribute video?
Yeah, we definitely will.
Oh, God.
Because he'll be playing, actually, this time. My personal favorite game I'm looking forward to, Wednesday night, March 12th. They play the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Nice.
I think that's an NBA Finals preview show.
Ooh, you think that... Is that your Western Conference pick right there?
It is, right now.
I like that.
Yeah.
This is early. I like that out of you, John.
Yeah,
hey,
there
okay.
we go, right? Yeah.
Okay.
I figured I'd wait till the third hour at the end to give you a real take.
Yeah, like less than a minute to go.
That and they should play Drake May in week 8. Cut off Shime's mic before he argues that.
Play
please.
Week
Thank
one.
Shime, it was a pleasure.
Always a pleasure, my
As
friend.
Always. Hopefully we'll be back together soon. I will be back tomorrow morning with KJ Carson at 9 a.m. You will be back on Monday morning with the Greg Hill Show.
That's correct.
At 6 a.m.
And we'll have Coach Jerod Mayo on the program on Monday morning.
Mayo Mondays,
yes,
starting
sir.
On Monday with Chris on the Chris Shime Show.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yes, on the Chris Shime Show. Thank you very much, folks, for listening. Baseball Isn't Boring with Rob Bradford next. And thank you, of course, to Joe Braverman, our wonderful producer. Have a good day, folks.
See ya.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone.
Yes! Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.